The sermon text this morning from our gospel reading. Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I wanted to ask you this morning, how is life going for you? Any turmoil? Any tension there? Let's think. Just our average, ordinary, everyday life. Mask or no mask? It wasn't long. Anybody remember this? What was it? Beginning of last summer? Like $25 put a whole lot of gas in my Impala. Now, $40 won't fill the tank. Like, that's irritating, to say the least. Or, how about, right, those of you who have Blue Cross Blue Shield for your insurance and watching them fight with Springfield Clinic back and forth, you know, and you're like, really? All I want to do is go to the doctor. How come it has to be so difficult? There's that right in front of us. If you're in high school, how's the whole high school experience working out for you these days? And as of Friday afternoon, well, the nation was waiting to see about the House up in Congress passing a $1 trillion spending / infrastructure bill. I personally can't imagine $1 trillion of anything, let alone $1 trillion. Anyway, all of these things and all of the multiple things that are in your life, like they're right here. Like these are the things that are right here. And they tend to block out the sight of what we're supposed to be actually doing, what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Because what are we supposed to be doing as Christians? We're supposed to be waiting for the return of Jesus. That's what we are supposed to be doing as Christians. And going about the business of making disciples. If we're going to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, we did that very thing this morning. That was wonderful to have Caleb's baptism right before us, right? But on the whole, waiting for Christ and making disciples, well, you'd think it'd be easy, but it's a way harder thing to do than most of us imagine. So, today, when we're thinking about it, like when we bring these things before our minds and take some time to ponder it, we really get to see how our adversary, Satan, shifts our view from what we're supposed to be looking at to what God wants us to be looking at. Right? He shifts our attention from what is most important in our lives to other things in our lives. He, you know, stirs the pot up, creating conflict among families, creating conflict in the Christian church. Demonic forces still do their best to cause us to forget what we're all about as church, right? And their tactic hasn't changed a whole lot. Did God really say? Isn't that what Satan said to Eve? Did God really say? It's the same thing that stirs up false doctrine and false teaching in the church today. Right? It's very effective, but the tactic hasn't changed. That's why it is great to have the church year and what we as church do in our liturgy. First, every Sunday is a miniature Easter. So what are we doing when we come to church? And I know we say this before, and it's kind of neat to say this today because we had the time change, so it's not as dark, right? And the sun is out and shining. Just remind us, you know, showing up on Easter Sunday, and everything's bright, and the weather today is really nice, and it's just spectacular. But every Sunday is a mini Easter. And we meet here on Sunday morning in a rehearsal of the disciples hurrying to the tomb after they heard the news that Jesus wasn't there. Well, what are we doing? We're hurrying to see the Savior on Sunday morning, right? Jesus is risen from the grave. We're celebrating that today. And this Sunday in the church year is the Festival of All Saints. And we have this morning already recalled the names of those whose earthly waiting is now past and is with our Lord Jesus Christ. For we are told in the Holy Scriptures it is given for a man to die once and then face the judgment. That is, with faith in Christ, those who die in the faith are immediately in glory. Right? Those who die outside of the faith are immediately with the souls in prison. And that will be made manifest on the last day when Jesus returns. But our faithful dead reign with Christ in heaven, even as we now speak here in the worship service. So, on the one hand, we rejoice with those who watched and waited in the faith. That's one of the things we're doing today. We're rejoicing with those who watched and waited in faith. On the other hand, we rejoice today for Caleb, who has been made a child of his heavenly Father, an heir of the heavenly kingdom, and all this happened for him in the waters of holy baptism. So we have welcomed Caleb into the ranks of those who are the waiting ones. We are to wait and watch for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we will be caught up with Jesus in the air at his second appearing. And what a blessing it is that Caleb has been born to Christian parents who are concerned for his eternal welfare and his eternal well-being. Now, most of us, I myself included, because, you know, that day-to-day stuff right before your nose pushes out what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, I think we all probably need to repent of not having the parousia, that's the big fancy theological word that means the second coming of Jesus. We all need to repent of not having the second coming of Jesus and that thought before our minds more readily and constantly than we do. The fact is that we don't want to be lulled to sleep. We don't want to become complacent. We don't want to be caught unawares when Jesus comes. And remember, he's not going to appear like he did the first time. Right? The first time was in Bethlehem. True God and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, born in a stable, right? Running from those who would kill him until at last he rode into the arms of those who would take his life, and he rode into town on the back of a donkey's colt, right into the arms of death. That's what Jesus did the first time. And he was laid in a borrowed tomb. The next time he's going to come in his power and glory and might, just as we remind ourselves at a Christian funeral. Right? Jesus will appear with the cry of command, with the shout of the archangel, with the trumpet blast of heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are still alive will meet them in the air. And so we are always with the Lord. Comfort yourselves with these words. So friends in Christ, let's keep waiting. Let's keep intentionally waiting and preparing, for the day is closer now than when we first believed. The signs are all around us, and we don't want to be caught unawares. Remember, just as the ailments in your body, right, the aches, the pains, the bumps, the bruises, the things that don't heal the way they should heal, right, are all road signs. It's all a road sign pointing to our impending death. Because barring the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're going to leave this world and go to eternal glory. But we're going to die. Just so, too, the disorders in nature and the problems in the church are heralds of the approaching great judgment at the end of the world. And I know we often quote Martin Luther in the Lutheran Church, but he had this knack of putting into words things you want to say. We just don't know how to say them. But he had a good knack for doing that. And he says, in all these things that we face, that we are face to face with, the most unnatural conflicts, these things surely ought to strike our eyes. Since men were created for mutual love and service, right, that's why we were created to serve one another. It's a horrible abnormality that their interests clash and a war of all against all is going on. I mean, go back to that peace thing. How easy is it to have peace? Everybody's got their opinion. Everybody wants to express their opinion, even in the household. You know, and how many of you have ever said to your kids, no yeah buts, right? No yeah buts. This is what dad said. This is what mom said. And somebody constantly wants to go, yeah, but what about this? It's tension. It's all the time. This isn't supposed to happen. It isn't supposed to be like that. Right? So, like when individuals gossip and they snipe and they backbite and they grow in anger with one another. I mean, isn't that, you flip on your TV, like some poor flight attendant is getting berated because every stinking sign in the airport says wear your mask on the plane. And so if you're going to get on the plane, do what the sign says. But no, they're going to take it out on this poor flight attendant and scream, holler, and yell at he or she. Right? Why? Right? It's not the flight attendant's fault that this is all happening. Right? But people would rather attack low-hanging fruit, right? The poor server at the fast food restaurant, the checker at the grocery store. Well, you didn't have any lettuce. You didn't have any lettuce. Well, we're sorry the truck didn't come in. You never have what I want. Like, you know, Christians, don't do that, right? These people are working hard and they're trying to do the best they can with what they've got on. No Christian should be caught attacking another person in that way, especially when they're trying to make the best of a bad situation, right? Rather, right, instead of doing that, we should do what we're supposed to do, which is be polite to one another, and to then get your pen and your paper out or your computer and write your senator and express your feelings and your emotions respectfully to your senators, right? Now, all of that, Luther didn't say that because they didn't have senators in his day. But he did say, and go on to say, that nations and coalitions of nations wage devastating and bloody wars. Like, that's not supposed to be either. So even at the lowest level of interpersonal relationships and at the highest level of nation against nation, this stuff isn't supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be like this. And every time we read of it and see of it or hear of it, it should remind us, Jesus is going to come back. And it's getting closer every day. Jesus is going to come back. Luther goes on, abnormal furthermore, right? And you think of when he's writing in the time of the world when he's writing, he says, abnormal furthermore are epidemics and famines. For man is to replenish the earth and the earth is to nourish man. That doesn't happen is a sign that the world is broken and a sign that the world is winding down and on its way to the end. So no matter if you believe in global warming or you're preparing for the next ice age to come, or you think the coronavirus is a man-made devastation, or if you think it's just devastation and retribution for sinful humanity, know in the end, not supposed to be this way. These things aren't supposed to happen. Neither is it supposed to be that the world would rail at the church. That this too is a sign of the end times that are upon us. The children of men fulfill the words of Christ. What did Christ say about his followers? They shall hand you over to those who will make you suffer, and they will kill you, and all nations will hate you on account of my name. That is a demonically inspired hate, right? For our stand on the Holy Scriptures. So when the earth quakes and shakes, when hurricanes ravage the coasts and tornadoes devastate the interior of our country and forests are consumed with fire, when the earth demolishes the works of man's hands and buries man underneath his own buildings or drowns him in the floods, these things seem normal to us because they happen all the time, but they are no normal phenomena. And Christ wants us to regard them as signs of the impending collapse of the world. This collapse of the world is something that you and I know is coming. And so we wait. We wait for the reappearing of Christ as he will come in all of his power and glory. And while we wait, we remember what St. Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 8. St. Paul said, I think that what we suffer now isn't important when I compare it with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Nature is waiting on tiptoe to see the unveiling of God's family. Nature must waste away, not because it wants to, but because its master would have it so. But nature hopes it too will be freed from the slavery that destroys it and share the freedom of God's family in glory. So all of us who are the body of Christ, young, old, everyone in between, and even new ones like Caleb here, don't let that stuff get in front of your eyes and make you not see the bigger picture and not see what you're supposed to be seeing. Let us wait. Wait in faith for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let us each, as the people of God in Christ Jesus, say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly." In Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.